The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We're in the Sabbath during unleavened bread. And in this period of time, we know that during unleavened bread that God freed Israel from slavery. And we know only He could have freed them. There was no way they could have done such a thing by themselves. And we also realize that God uses this allegory of removing leaven as a type of removing sin also represents Israel's personal and collective responsibility of removing sin. Where God used it for them, the physical act of removing the leaven pictures what a Christian should be doing. We also know that God gave this instruction in Exodus 12:15. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off. So it was a very important commandment given by God. They personally had to get rid of the leaven and be sure that no leavened bread was around them, and they walked out of Egypt. God did not provide Israel with a miracle of removing leavening and unleavened bread, nor did He provide them with the Star Trek transporter system that beamed them out of Egypt. They had to do it themselves, remove the leavening, and they had to walk. It was their responsibility, not God's. It was their responsibility to listen to Him. So it is our responsibility to take action and remove sins, or the practice of sins in our life. It is God's responsibility to see that Jesus' blood covers us so that we have no sin. In 1 John 1:7, let me make sure it's 1 John. Somehow I missed 1 John 1. Second. It's interesting copying notes and you don't see it until okay, I'm not finding it. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. First John 1:7. There we go. First John 1:7. Okay. So we have Jesus' righteousness imputed to us. What we do, how we live, shows our intent toward God of wanting to be called His children. How important it is in our lives to be the way God wants us to be. So this is our responsibility. Again, our responsibility. See, God gave us freedom from sin. God gave Israel freedom from slavery. But there's responsibility that we have to, that He gives us as well in our daily lives. And part of this is, since leaven represents sin, we must learn to recognize, and as we know what leaven is, we must learn to also recognize sin and what sin is. And one thing that is important about knowing about sin and knowing about God's way of life is it isn't a natural thing for humankind, nor is it a natural thing for man. Because as God had Jeremiah write in Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his own footsteps." So unless we look into God's word, we're only guessing as to what is the proper way to live, or even to guess what sin is. And in the Bible, God gives us 5 definitions for sin. The first one is in 1 John 3:4, which says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." So breaking of God's law. Number 2 is found in 1 John 5:17. And this says 1 John 5:17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death, but all unrighteousness is sin." So not practicing righteousness is sin. The third one is found in Romans 14:23. "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin." Now, this doesn't give us leeway to decide what sin is or isn't. But there are some issues in life that occur that some of us may believe a particular way. In this particular case, it was whether they should, I believe it was, eat meat or not. And for some people, because of where, you know, what they were taught, they thought it was wrong to eat meat. And partially because meat was sacrificed to idols. And some people didn't think, they thought it was okay to eat meat. Not the fact that it was sacrificed to idols, but the fact that those idols weren't necessarily a bother to them. Now, they wouldn't eat within the temple, but it was not a problem to how they thought. And so you had these two sides fighting each other. And Paul was trying to tell them if it's how you look at it. So we have a certain amount of discretion or on how things affect us. And so if it bothers your conscience and you do something that bothers your conscience, in effect, that's how we would say it in everyday parlance, it is sin. The fourth way is found in James 4:17. It says, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So sometimes not taking an action can be sin. So not only is sin possibly doing something, but not doing something can be sin. So how would we apply this in our lives? When God tells us to do something, a case in point is God tells us that if you see your neighbor's animal taking off, and he's not a friend of yours. You're not just supposed to ignore it and let it go off. You're supposed to get the animal and bring it back, whether the person is a problem to you or not. So not doing something in this case would be sin. Proverbs 24:9 says, "The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men." So practicing foolish things is also sinful. So as a Christian, we need to understand these things and know how to apply them and find places in our lives and identify them, and once we find them, to try to remove them. Again, it's our responsibility to do this. Now, God may help us in finally understanding understanding these areas that we're falling short, but it's our responsibility to move away from them. You see, one thing that sin is, and sometimes we forget this, sometimes, you know, sin is can be just a word, but sin really brings slavery. It brings misery. It can bring trouble. It can also be evil. And it brings pain. And these things are contrary to the peace, love, and truth, and freedom, or in other words, God's way of life. Sin does not describe God. Righteousness describes God. And God wants to give his sons and daughters freedom. But with that freedom comes responsibility in knowing how to apply his ways in our life. Another part of this is not only knowing what sin is, but again, knowing how to apply God's word, his commandments, and what he instructs us, and how specifically how to live. And we've said this is you've got the commandments, you've got the statutes, and you've got the judgments. And you need to know how to apply these things in your life. Again, this responsibility belongs to each one of us individually, and it belongs to all of us collectively. When Jesus Christ returns, we can't say, or it's our responsibility on what we've done, how we've lived. We're not going to be able to say, well, this is what I was told to do. And we have the Bible in front of us saying not to do this. I have a brother-in-law who's been an elder for many years. And he's given a sermon on this particular area a number of times. Anyway, my brother-in-law is married to my wife's sister, and his name is Ray Clore. And one of the things that he likes to give as a sermon and teaching, and instructing God's people, he says, you need to know the right, you need to choose the right, and you need to do the right. Now, I don't know, I'm not necessarily saying many of the things that he says, but these concepts are something that we need to put in our daily lives, in our spiritual life. We need to know the right. The only way we're going to know the right is, again, by recognizing what sin is and by recognizing what God says how to live and then instituting that in our lives. Again, this is our responsibility. We also know that Jesus boiled down much of what's in God's word to two particular statements. And he verified this when he asked the lawyer. He says, what is the duty of man? And he said, to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And you can find this in Luke 10, 27 and 28. And that's when Christ says, you've answered properly. But again, because it isn't natural for us as a person and from experiences, we don't always know necessarily how to love God and how to love your neighbor. And we can't just say it's because this is what I think. That's why God has given us his Bible, his word, and why we're supposed to put it into practice. And I can give you an example. But knowing the right sometimes is not that simple, even by having God's word. Sometimes the complexity of life and what happens obscures what we may think is right. And there are times that we need wisdom to properly know what is right. And this can be found in Deuteronomy 17. So turn to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, starting in verse 8. It says, if there arise a matter too hard for you in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within your gates. Now, yes, this has to do with a judgment. And this has to do with two people. But it also has to do with applying God's principles in your life. And sometimes we don't have the answer. And this is what this is getting at. Then you shall arise and get you up to a place which the Lord your God shall choose. And you shall come unto the priests and the Levites and unto the judge that shall be in those days and inquire, that they may show you the sentence of judgment. And you shall do according to that sentence which they of the place which the Lord shall choose to show you, and you shall observe to do according to all that they inform you. Now here's the key point. According to the sentence of the law which they shall teach you, and according to the judgments which they shall tell you, you shall do. You shall not decline from the sentence, and they will show you and not decline from the left or the right. So the important part of this is it's out of the law, out of God's word, when a judgment is given. It's not just what I think. It's not just how I see it. It's not just what I think it should be. If you're not able to answer, then you're supposed to defer the judgment. Or you may have to hold off until you find somebody that knows what to do. In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, where it talks about Timothy, and says, from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So in other words, there times that we may not know the answer, and we have to look in God's word to see if we can find the right principle and know how the right principle is applied. There are times that we're going to have to pray. There's times, and it may be days and days before we have an answer. And sometimes, and I believe I've seen where the answer is hidden. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this particular example that I'm going to bring, I'm sure there will be many different emotions, especially for people that have been around for years and years. But it has to do with church history. And much of what we call, you know, where the Church of God came from many years ago, and that was called the Worldwide Church of God. In January of 1986, the founder of the organization died, and the organization was then passed on to be overseen by another individual. Under this individual, the main tenets of the church were slowly changed. The perception of what was happening ran the gamut. Perception within people, within the church members, ran the gamut. From not seeing anything change to disliking the change, to loving the change. Like I said, it is not a natural thing for us to be able to always know what the answer is, even when we have God's Word. Not that we can't know, sometimes we don't want to know. Well, those that had some kind of answer, the most common one that I remember went something like this. God is in charge and he will fix it, or he'll deal with it, or he'll take care of it. And the reasoning for this answer was that God is in charge, it's his church, and he'll lead it. So my question is, if it's God's responsibility, don't we have any responsibility? Why does he give us the Bible? Why does he tell us how to live? God gives us answers in his Word on what we should have done, what we needed to do, etc. In fact, one of the biggest answers that came around a few years later from some people was, we need to wait to see if God's gonna, if they're going to do away with the Sabbath, and then at that point we'll know what to do. Now, I guess I should say I'm not necessarily for anarchy. But from what I remember Jesus saying, the first and greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your being. I don't remember him saying you're to love the Sabbath and place that above God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your being. So the church as a whole was willing to sacrifice, I guess my point of view, was willing to sacrifice worship of God for the Sabbath. It made no sense to me then. It makes no sense to me now. And I'm not sure that the Church of God has changed much in its viewpoint on that. And this took place over 20 years ago. I've not heard anything or seen anything published on what direction we had. God gives us responsibility. How we live He wants us to know what is right. And we have to be able to or we have to learn to be able to know what is right by looking into His Word. And as I mentioned a little earlier, sometimes knowing what is right isn't always that simple. And but being confused is, that's part of the many things that we have to learn, and how to come out of that confusion. And many of the things that I've said didn't just come from what we would call the membership, but it also came from leadership in the church. And possibly doing things our way, and again, not applying God's way of life. So, how would you answer, what would be your answer today for this situation? What would be your counsel from God today? His second step is once you know what is right, you should choose what is right. Most of the time we're predisposed of choosing the right if we know what is right. As church members, being sons and daughters of God, we want to do what's right. But the Bible also has plenty of examples of those that used God's Holy Spirit, had God's Holy Spirit with them, and even had it in them, where we've done things the wrong way, whether it was pride or greed or being a respecter of persons or covetousness or lusts. So even knowing the right and choosing the right isn't necessarily simple. But it's something that God expects us to do. And it's something that we should expect ourselves to do. And this is what these days are about, unleavened bread. Again, God freed Israel from slavery. He freed Israel from the clutches of the devil, the clutches of Egypt, the clutches of death. He gave them freedom, but He didn't just expect that to be it. He also gave them the responsibility of putting the leaven out and walking out of Egypt. Just as God gives us the responsibility to know His Word, to know the right, to choose the right. Then, after choosing the right and trying to put away the things that would not letting us choose the right, we have to do the right. Remember I mentioned fact, if you saw your neighbor's, one of your enemy's animals running around, and you didn't do anything, you may know the right, you may want to choose the right, but, you know, I'm really irritated at him right now, really, really irritated, and I don't want to help him. These are things that we all face, but God wants us to do the right as well. God gave us our lives to learn many and put us in situations where we will learn. And God will guide us through these situations. God didn't just bring us to freedom and say, that's it. Not only does he want us to have the responsibility, but he gives us all the tools that we need so that we can move on to freedom and have that freedom. That's what the Days of Unleavened Bread is about. That's what Unleavened Bread all the way to Pentecost is about. Because God gives us the freedom, he wants us to have the responsibility, and then he gives us the tools by being born into his family, by having the Holy Spirit. God has removed us from slavery. It is a marvelous and wonderful thing. Another way to phrase it, being removed from slavery or having freedom, he offers us salvation. That's what it is, freedom, salvation. Whether it's in our daily lives, what we practice, whether it's in his kingdom in the future as sons and daughters of God. So our responsibility is to know, to choose, and to do. And then God's responsibility and his thing is to make sure that as we do and as we show him that we want to be his sons, that we will be righteous in his sight and he will raise us up at the time of Christ's coming and we will be resurrected. The Days of Unleavened Bread are pretty remarkable, as is God's Holy Day plan. And this is the beginning of it, and don't forget your responsibility.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org, or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.